The book of James, which is not the book I told you to turn to, I realize that. But the book of James has a lot to say about the things that we say. In fact, as we look at the book of James, he tells us that our tongues are a fire. And I'm looking around, I see some of our kids have little hats with fire on them, and I don't think that was the lesson today. I have a feeling that the lesson today was on the book of Acts with the tongues of fire coming down. Am I right? Yes, okay. I got a thumbs up over there. That's great. But James tells us that our tongues and the things that we say are a fire that is set ablaze by hell itself. One of the things that I love about the book of James is that he doesn't really mince words, right? He's kind of like, look, you people stink, you're rotten people, and this is why, but there's hope. He goes on and he says that the tongue cannot be tamed, that there's not a person alive who can tame their tongue. He says that it is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Well, what do you really think, James, about the tongue? And with all this great stuff that James talks about with regard to the tongue, it's a wonder why Christians even ever open their mouths at all. I mean, if we really love God, and if we really love Jesus, and if we really love His Word, why in the world would we even open our mouths to speak? I mean, I think we've all been there at some time when we're trying to say something, and we're trying to get the words out, we're trying to be encouraging, or we're trying to be supportive, or we're trying to be this or that, and everything just, we wind up making it worse, right? You ever been there? I've been there. The truth, though, is that God wants to work through the things that we say. If we look at the book of Romans says, right, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, but how can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in one whom they've never heard about? And how can they hear about Him unless someone does what? Tells them about it or preaches to them. That implies opening your mouth to speak. I don't know why my voice just did that, but that was very interesting. God wants our words and the things that we say to carry weight. God wants us to be very careful about what we say so that when we say it, there is meaning behind it. There is a forcefulness of ideas behind it. This is one of the bad things about being a pastor is because you're talking all the time. And so whenever you open your mouth, a lot of times people will just shut off. Oh, he's just talking again. Don't need to listen to him. So we have to be careful about what we say. And so today I want to challenge you with the words of Jesus from the book of Matthew chapter 12. Jesus said a lot of things about our words as well. And in this passage that we're going to read here, verses 33 through 37, which he is directing at religious leaders, I just want you to understand that, he had something very poignant to say to them. So I'm going to ask you to stand in honor of the reading of God's word as we read it together. This is Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 through 37. Let's read it together. Make a tree good, and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad, and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the Word of God that you have given us. Lord, we thank you for how you have preserved it, how you have brought it to us. Lord, we thank you for the guidance and the light that it shines on our path so that we can know where to go, what next steps to take. Lord, we thank you for that. And I pray this morning that as we look at this passage that we've just read, that you would open our eyes to see that which is most important. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to change what needs to be changed, that you would help us to celebrate what we can. And Lord, ultimately, may you receive all the glory, honor, and praise. I pray that you would take the words of my mouth, Lord. May they not be my own, but Lord, may they be yours. And may you use them in the power of the Spirit to accomplish all that you want to accomplish in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So one of the dangers about preaching a message like this is that the things that I am about to say are going to be probably thrown back at me by the people who mean the most to me, namely my children, who I love deeply. But as a father, one of the areas where I fail constantly is with not only the things that I say to my children, but also how I say those things. A lot of times there are times when I will speak a word to my children thinking I'm trying to be very encouraging, and it winds up making them angry or sad or run away and cry, and then my wife has to go and fix it. And then she comes and tells me what adult I am, which is true because I didn't realize the things I was saying. As we look at what Jesus has to say here, and again, Jesus never had an issue with calling out religious leaders. I don't know if you've noticed that in your reading of the Gospels. Jesus never had a hard time telling these wonderful people that they were broods of vipers. There's something very, I don't know if you've ever seen a brood of snakes being born. Ugh. It's gross. Look it up on YouTube. I did that because I wanted to get a feel for it. I probably watched maybe a total, grand total of 5 seconds of that video before I turned it off. I was just like, oh, that's gross, I'm out. But Jesus called out not only the religious leaders of his day, he also called out his disciples from time to time. And really, when Jesus talked to the religious leaders, he was also talking to his disciples, which we are. So I don't want you to think that the words that Jesus has to say here are just for those religious leaders of his day. They're for us too. There's some very important things that we need to gather out of those things. So there's three things I want you to notice about this passage. First of all is the idea of recognition, right? There is recognition. One of the closest barometers, one of the best barometers that we have about the state of our heart are the words that we use. And I would venture to guess not just what we say, but how we say it. And so as we go through life, we need to be careful about the things that we say. Jesus says here that a tree is recognized by its fruit, right? So let's do a little a quiz here. Can we do a quiz here? Sure. Just call it out when you see it. And tell me what kind of tree this is. Yes, very good, apple tree. Now this picture I had a little difficulty with, so that they really don't, they're kind of, anyway. We'll go to the next one. So here's the next one, ready? What kind of tree is this?
Pear.
Who said grape? Grape vine, not a grape tree. But that's okay. It's a pear tree, yeah. And there's no partridge in it, so it's not quite Christmas time yet. Otherwise, I would have put a partridge in there. Maybe Keith. I don't know. Here we go. No one else got that?
I got it.
Okay, here we go. Next one.
Bananas.
It's a banana tree. Very good. Okay. Here's the last one. This is kind of tough, this one.
Coconut.
Very. Who said that? Did you say that? Good job. Beta. All right. So a coconut tree. So here's the idea, right? Is that we recognize what kind of tree it is. And again, you know, leaves on a tree, right? You could probably distinguish. I was never very good at this. I'm still not very good at this, but differentiating between an oak tree and a walnut tree or a maple tree. You can, by the fruit, the leaves that are on the tree, right? And so what Jesus is saying is this, that you can recognize what a person is based on the fruit of their life. And the fruit that Jesus is speaking of here in Matthew chapter 12, or at least in this particular portion of Matthew chapter 12, are our words. Now, as we look at the context of what Jesus is saying, Jesus has just been accused of being in league with Satan. That the way that he can, the reason he can cast out demons is because he is one of them. And Jesus says to them, dudes, and I'm paraphrasing here. He says, dudes, how stupid is that? That way of thinking is not logical. Because how can Satan be against cast out Satan? Because if a house is divided, it will fall. It will not stand. And then he asks him a question, right? If I drive out demons by Beelzebub, how do you guys do it? If my power is coming from the devil, where's your power coming from? Jesus goes on and he says, he begins to talk about this idea that there are things that are going on in the spiritual realm that you don't really know about. And so he comes to this passage and he says, at this point he says, look, a good tree bears good fruit. A bad tree bears bad fruit. If there is a farmer who has an apple orchard, and he has a tree that constantly bears rotten apples, that the apples come out, they look good for about a day or two, and then they get bad, he realizes there's something wrong. There's something wrong inside the tree. This tree is no longer bearing fruit, or it might just be a branch, or it might be the whole tree. If it's a branch, he cuts that branch off because it's sucking life from the tree, and he throws it out. And Jesus, this is what Jesus is saying. This isn't the only place Jesus has stated stuff like this, right? He says, if you, in John chapter 15, he says, if you remain in me, you will bear much fruit. And if you're in me, what kind of fruit is going to come out? If Jesus is in us, if the life of Jesus is in us, what's going to happen? We're going to bear fruit that keeps with Jesus. Like I prayed earlier, will we begin to look more and more like Jesus in how we react, in how we deal with our spouse, in how we deal with our kids, in how we deal with our coworkers, in how we deal with our neighbors, even in how we deal with the other drivers on the road? Oh, I must have stepped on some toes there. But the bottom line is that we recognize who's who through the words that come out of our mouth. This is what Jesus is getting at. And so he goes on to our next point, and we talk about the reservoir, right? What's a reservoir? A reservoir is where we store water, or where we store something for use at a later time. And so what Jesus says here is he says that at the end of verse 34, he says, the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So think of it this way. Our heart is the reservoir. And what we put in our heart, what we allow into our heart, is what is going to come out of the spigot, which is our mouth. And so if we are constantly filling up our heart with God and with His truth and with His word, if we are constantly filling up with thoughts of of God and who he is, if we are constantly filling up with praise, if we're constantly filling up with those things, then out of our mouth are going to come good things like love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and self-control. But when we fill it up with evil things, or when we fill it up with things of the world, then out of our mouth come all kinds of evil things. Let me put it this way, right? If we're going to take Jesus seriously here and what he says, then we need to spend some time thinking about what's in the reservoir. What are we putting in the reservoir? And one of the easiest ways to figure out what's in the reservoir is to consider, what is it that is coming out of our mouth? Okay? So if things like, if we are with our mouth tearing people down, or if we are constantly criticizing people, or if we're dealing, or we're spending a lot of time making fun of other people, or if we're being harsh with people, then guess what? Something's wrong with the reservoir. It's not an exhaustive list. But if those are the things that are coming out, then there's something wrong. And we need to deal with that. But if we look at the words that we're using and the things that we say, and we see things like encouragement, or uplifting words, or praise, or challenging people, or even teaching, or even rebuke. Now, I want to stop here for a second and just say, you know, sometimes there are words that can seem harsh, but they come in love. Paul said, speak the truth to one another in love. We need to speak truth, right? I'm afraid a lot of times when pastors preach on messages like this, we come away thinking, well, I can't say anything bad about anyone. I shouldn't do. We talked about this last week, right? About judging people and the idea that when the Lord told us not to judge, it wasn't that we can't look at what someone is doing and on the surface say, you know, what that is sin, and that's wrong, and we need to deal with that, right? But we don't judge people's motives. We don't judge people's salvation. That's a God thing, because only God knows the true motives of someone's heart. But when we see that sin, when we see someone walking in sin, then we have to deal with it. It's kind of like if I'm out walking in the yard, and we have, for those of you who don't know, we have dogs, and we have two dogs, and they're small dogs, so when they go out to do their business, it's not always readily seen, if you catch my meaning. Sometimes it's very well hidden in the grass. And so sometimes if I'm walking out in the yard and I happen, by no fault of my own, just accidentally happen to step in one of my dog's deposits on the lawn, I generally know it pretty quickly, right? Those of you who have stepped in dog deposit before, I'm trying to be very kind here because I know we're eating later. You know, you tend to know that you've done it, right? You're like, oh my goodness, I can't believe I did this again. And so if I come from there and I try to walk in the house without taking my shoes off first, I will get a rebuke. And I will get a rebuke from probably most of the people in my household. Don't bring that in here. Okay. Friends, we are the family of God. We are the church. And when we fail to confront sin when we see it, we become complicit in allowing sin into the church. And friends, I have, you know, I was thinking about how to put this today, and as I was wrestling with it, and as I was thinking about it, I was like, man, I don't want to come across as holier than thou or really uptight. But look, God's word is God's word. Sin is sin. And when sin is going on among people who claim to be Christians and we don't deal with it, we're allowing someone with dog deposit to walk into our house and get that all over the place. And it's nasty to try and clean it up. We need more of this kind of rebuke. And again, it needs to come from of a heart that where the reservoir is pure. If it comes from a heart where the reservoir isn't, we wind up with criticism. We wind up with being harsh for the sake of being harsh. We wind up doing it all wrong. But when these things are evident in the life of a Christ follower, then that's something other than us at work. That's something other than us at work, because we're more like the first group of things. That's our default. That's where we go when we're just kind of letting things happen. Because what does the Bible say about our heart? It is deceptively wicked above all things. And so when Jesus says out of the heart comes the overflow, or out of the mouth comes the overflow of the heart, when we see Jesus say a good person brings good things out of the good stored up in them, and a evil person brings evil things out of the evil stored up in them, that is what we are talking about. So how is our reservoir? Where is our reservoir? What's in our reservoir? Are we putting Christ? Are we putting Jesus in more than the world? More than these other things? Are we spending too much time on the computer, on our cell phones, scrolling through social media? Are we spending too much time, convicting myself here, watching sports and all those commercials that come on from there? Are we spending too much time dealing, watching TV shows that are questionable or just maybe not even things that we should be watching, but we are? Are we spending too much time reading this magazine or that magazine or doing this or that? I can't answer that question for you. That's got to be you. Are we spending more time doing those things than we are focusing on Jesus? This is why Paul said in the book of Philippians, whatever is good, whatever is true, whatever is praiseworthy, whatever is right, whatever is pure, these are the things that I want you to think about. Because when we think about those, then we're filling up our reservoir with the things of God. And then what comes out of our heart, what comes out of our mouth, will be what's overflowing from our heart. Now we looked at the recognition of a tree and its fruit. We looked at the reservoir, where the things are. But I want to talk finally about the repercussions. Because Jesus talks about the repercussions here. Look at what he says here in verse 36. He says, I tell you, everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Now wait a minute. Wait. Is Jesus saying then that if I mess up in the things that I say, that I won't get to heaven? Okay, let me ask you that question. Is that what Jesus is saying? If you look at what the Bible says as a whole, is that what Jesus is saying?
No.
Because the Bible says it's by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not a result of works, so that no one can boast, right? So it's not an acquittal. Our words don't acquit us from the standpoint of our salvation. All right? I want to make that clear. But our words do acquit us or condemn us when it comes to judgment for reward. The judgment that Jesus is talking about here isn't the judgment of, where we see the sheep and the goats, right? Those who have received Christ and those who haven't. This is the judgment of, okay, we're going to pile up everything in a pile. This is how Paul described it. We're going to put everything up, whatever we built our life with, right? Whether it's wood, hay, stubble, or whether it's precious stones, gold, silver, whatever it is, we're going to put it all in a pile, and Jesus is going to put a match to it, and whatever is left when the fire dies down, that's the reward that we have to give back to Jesus. So I want you, this is what he's saying. Saying that every idle word is going to whoosh. Every empty word is going to burn. Worthless words. Don't let your words be worthless. Don't come to the end of your life. Don't come to that moment and see your words just go off in a puff of smoke. Your words have weight. Now, I want to give you a couple of challenges. The first thing I want you to do this week is I want you to look at the things that you are saying, the words that are coming out of your mouth this week. Take some time. Really consider, what are the words that are coming out of my mouth? When I talk to my spouse, when I talk to my kids, when I talk to my coworkers, when I talk to my neighbors, when I talk to whoever it is I talk to, what are the words that are coming out of my mouth? What am I talking about? These are the actual words that are coming out of my mouth, right? And we need to be careful about what we say. Again, this goes back to James, right? Where he says, not everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak. My son used the illustration in his message a couple of weeks ago where he talked about his Sunday school teacher who said, God gave you two ears and one mouth, so you should talk half as much as you listen. Which is, again, it's a tough thing for preachers because we're always talking. But here's the point, right? Consider what you say. Be thinking about it. Let your mind consider, before you speak, what am I about to say? Are these good things? Are they encouraging things? Are they uplifting things? Or are they condemning things? Are they critical things? And then the second challenge I want you to do this week is to check your heart. Right? Or as John Chris used to say, check your heart. Right? So you don't know who that is. You can look him up. Anyway, we need to check our heart. What are we allowing in? What are we putting in our heart? Are we putting in bitterness and anger and strife? Or are we putting in love, joy, and peace? Are we putting in difficulty and worry? Or are we putting in contentment? I want to encourage you to do this week. When I worked at Target, and this was many years ago, one of the things that I had to do was I had to take inventory of Food Avenue, which was a little food court area there in our Target store. And so part of taking inventory, and we did it once a month, part of taking inventory was looking at what was there, determining what was missing, and then ordering what was missing so that it wouldn't be missing anymore. It also included looking at some of the things that we had on the shelf for too long and that shouldn't be there, and taking them out and throwing them out. And so that's part of what I want to challenge you to do this week sometime. Find some time this week to get alone with the Lord and ask Him to walk through the inventory of your heart this week. And I guarantee you, when you do that in a spirit of submission to Jesus, submission to God, that He will reveal to you, this area needs to go. Or this area, we need to strengthen that. That's a good, but it needs to be stronger. You might be holding on to a seed of bitterness that needs to be let go. You might be holding on to something that Maybe God has been asking you to do something and you've been telling him, I really don't want to do that. God might bring that to mind. God might bring to mind something that he has gifted you to do, and you've appreciated that and you've been working on it, but now it's time to take that to the next level. Again, I don't know what God is going to tell you. Weird things might happen when you start praying like this. When you start asking God, reveal what's in my heart, what I need to get rid of, what I need to strengthen, what's missing that I need to put in, and Lord, I will do whatever you ask. Here's the thing. Here's one of the things that I've been encouraged to do lately. Andrew and Abby and I did an En Gedi worship thing a couple of weeks ago. Or I guess that was last week, wasn't it? And one of the songs we sang, one of the songs that we sang had this lyric in it that, Lord, whatever it is that you ask, and I'm not getting it exactly, but whatever it is that you ask, my answer will be yes. So when we come to this moment where we're taking spiritual inventory of our heart, before you even pray the prayer, tell God, whatever you ask me to do, my answer is going to be yes. And then walk through that inventory. I guarantee you, we've been praying for revival. I hope you continue to pray for revival. I've been praying every day for me. And I got to tell you, I feel like this is something that is going to help us in that direction even more. As we choose to say yes to God, no matter what it is, as we begin to hear the Holy Spirit say, this needs to go, this needs to stay, this needs to be brought in, this needs to be strengthened, this needs to be brought lower, whatever it might be, take inventory of your heart. Check the words that are coming out of your mouth. But when we deal with the heart, when we deal with what's inside, when that reservoir begins to become filled with pure, holy, godly things, then the words of our mouth are going to be pure and holy and godly too. We want our words to carry weight. We want our words that when we say, when we talk about Jesus to people, when we share our testimony with people, we want people to not only hear it, but we want it to have effect. And again, it's not because of us, right? It's not because of us. It's because of what God is doing inside of us. And so my challenge to you this week is to allow Him to have His way in your heart. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the hearts that you've given us. Lord, we recognize and realize that in a lot of ways our hearts can be messy things. But Lord, we also know that you have made us that way. You have created us with the capacity to serve you and to love you. But Lord, because of sin, we tend to turn in the wrong direction. So Lord, I pray that even now you would help us to build our life on the cornerstone of Jesus. That as we look to him, as we allow him to come in and do inventory in our hearts, Lord, that the shelves will begin to be stocked with all of the things that we need and less of the things that we don't. Lord, we love you and we give you glory, honor, and praise. And we thank you for being here with us and for challenging us, for showing us how we should live. And Lord, I just pray that we would take these things from here, and Lord, that you would be honored and glorified in all we say and do, in Jesus' name.